Hi, everybody. This is Jack from Radio Laurier here. Now, with the federal election coming up, we are sitting down and talking with some of the Waterloo Riding MP candidates. Today, we're talking to Helene Chow, the NDP candidate for the Waterloo Riding. Helene Chow has a PhD, Dr. Helene Chow, has a PhD in environmental engineering from the University of Waterloo and currently works as an engineer for Environment and Climate Change Canada. How are you doing today, Helene?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. Great. Now, I know I just kind of gave a very brief intro for you, but I want to hear it in your own words. You want to tell me a bit about yourself, your background, and why you're running in this election?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, generally, I'm running because I've seen how bad things can get south of the border, and that scared me a lot in terms of what we need to do to protect Canada and Canadians. As soon as Trump won in November, I moved forward to get my name put on the ballot and get acclaimed by the NDP. Generally, I guess my background is I'm an environmental engineer. I studied environmental engineering for almost 10 years. I entered that field because I care deeply about solving climate change and other environmental issues. And that's one of my main priorities this time around. Otherwise, my background, I'm a bit of a nerd. You know, I play Dungeons and Dragons every week and things like that. I mean, I'm happy to chat anytime with anyone who has more questions for me about me on a personal level. But hopefully, as you get to know me, you'll know that I'm a kind, caring, fun person.
Awesome. Great. Glad to hear it. And we mentioned a couple times already, you're running with the NDP party. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what it is about the NDP party that attracted you to running with them. I mean, also, if you could speak a little bit on why you think that Jagmeet Singh is the right person to lead Canada.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So my values have always really aligned with the NDP. I still believe that they're the party of the working class, and they all defend working class values and workers' rights. I also believe that they have good plans in place for things like I mentioned before, climate change, housing affordability, grocery affordability, and things like that. I also think we need many voices in the House of Commons. So if we just have a two-party system like in the States, people tend to vote against what they fear rather than what for they want. And so I think we need to have many, many parties represented in the House of Commons and during the election cycle as well to share diverse views. Well, I think Jagmeet is a good candidate. Well, I think the NDP has, its strength really comes from its individual candidates and local grassroots movements. But in terms of, I guess, the aptitude that Jagmeet has shown, it's really about getting the leverage that they had in the last government with only 24 seats. They were able to pull through and push for things like dental care, pharma care, child care, all the cares, right? And someone who's able to use that leverage and use their power for good to deliver good policy for Canadians, I think, is a good leader.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. Well said. Well said. So what do you feel is the biggest issue facing Waterloo right now in this election? And if elected, how would you address it?
Well, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of issues, unfortunately, happening. I think specifically in Waterloo, the most pressing one for me is housing unaffordability. Rent prices have increased by almost double in the last decade. And I've personally experienced this. I'm also a renter in the region. Without the price caps, or rather rent control, in the province of Ontario, I had to move last year because I just couldn't afford increase in rent. And I think a lot of students have similar stories, whether it's rent evictions or just landlords that, you know, won't come into their units and fix things, even though they're paying upwards of $1,000, $1,500, even $2,000 sometimes for their units. I think, unfortunately, the situation in Waterloo is that because people are moving so frequently, you know, rent control is not really in play, right? Because when you leave, the landlords can increase the rent, you know, as much as they'd like. I think we really need to address this because if people can't continue to live and thrive in Waterloo, you know, our economy stalls, right? People don't want to move here if they can't afford to. And that's why I think the NDP's plan to build more affordable housing and price it as actually affordable, not just what the market dictates, but also making sure we stop corporations and buying up the already existing affordable housing and instituting a rent control is really, really important for Waterloo.
Yeah, and one of the things that gets brought up when you're talking about sort of the homelessness crisis, especially in Waterloo, is there's a bit of a hot debate right now on safe injection sites. Is there room in your plan for safe injection sites?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm actually attending the rally, or not much a rally, but show of support for the safe injection site in Kitchener this afternoon. It's important to me because research across the board everywhere has shown that these sites save lives, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, there is a conversation about how we can make our communities feel safe, how to ensure that people can access these sites in an appropriate way and also get access to the other treatments that they need in these sort of desperate situations. Unfortunately, healthcare is really much more of a provincial jurisdiction, but that doesn't mean that there isn't things that the federal level can do when it comes to funding or strengthening our acts or strengthening the laws that govern these sorts of situations, right? So I'm open to hearing from anyone, the experts and people who are directly affected by this issue, how we can help solve it at the federal level.
Yeah, awesome. And you brought up healthcare, and I know that it is mostly under sort of provincial jurisdiction, but I'm curious kind of what are your thoughts on it? You're, on your social media, you talked a bit about the NDP's view, and you said you kind of dream of healthcare where you don't wait and you don't pay.
Mm-hmm.
Curious, how do you achieve that?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a tough battle, let me tell you, because unfortunately, we've gotten ourselves into a pretty much what I would describe as a crisis. I don't necessarily like using that word too much because it can make people feel hopeless. But I think we there's lots of things we can actually do to improve the situation. For some context, you know, I have been without a family doctor for over 10 years I couldn't find one, right? I just got one last week, so yay.
Good.
You know, that shouldn't be the situation that we're in, right? Like, if I had a health crisis during that time, what could I have done? Especially after you leave university, right? You don't get access to those on-campus services. So I think there's a lot of things the federal can still do to improve the situation. One is the latest thing that the party has promised is sort of a pan-Canadian licensing so that a doctor can practice and a doctor or nurses can practice across the country, right? They're not limited to the province they're in. But there's a lot of work we can do to retain that profession in Canada, right? From paying our nurses much more. I believe they're critically underpaid right now. To ensuring that, you know, doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals are well supported. We saw during the pandemic just how hard this job can be and how much burnout there is. And if we want people to practice in Canada, we have to make it a good experience for them, right? I think we can also strengthen the Canadian Healthcare Act, I believe is what it's called, to make sure that we stop the move towards privatization and for-profit healthcare. I think that would be a disaster for Canadians. Because we don't want a system where the rich can get better healthcare than the poor. I believe in a system where everyone is being able to get access to the healthcare that they need. And there's many, many other things that we can do. I encourage you to look at the platform, but also reach out to me directly if you'd like me to list them off. But that's what comes top of mind.
Awesome. Great. Well said. Yeah, and so a big part of, I guess, your expertise and in doing my research, seeing sort of your thoughts is you're very big on, of course, protecting the environment. Also sort of, I guess, your job on a more basic level. What are actual steps that we can take and policies we can implement in government to protect the environment?
Well, it's there's so much we can do, right? I don't want to use the crisis word again, but, you know, we've haven't treated the environment so well. And that doesn't mean it's just affecting the environment, right? Like, these things affect human health in really profound ways. So one thing that we pledged to do that I think is a no-brainer is to get rid of oil and gas subsidies. Those are about to the tune of $18 billion.
Oh, wow.
You know, if these are companies that are actively damaging the environment, human health, and contributing to climate change, why are we giving them money, right? And sometimes this money goes towards exploration. You know, the UN already claims that we can't burn the oil we've already found. Why are we searching for more, right? So the plan the NDP has is to take those $8 billion of oil and gas subsidies and turn them into subsidies for everyday Canadians that want to retrofit their homes to include things like heat pumps, you know, that reduce our reliance on natural gas, but also, you know, energy efficiency things so that we use less energy, put less pressure on the grid. The great thing about this plan is that it goes directly to families who need it most. You know, people who can afford to do these things already can, but we really need to support people who would not be able to do this without those subsidies otherwise. I think we also have a place in building stronger regulations that protect human health and the environment, whether that's water, air, or soil. But climate change really is, you know, the biggest one because that will, you know, exacerbate all the other problems. You know, we already see the impacts of climate change with, you know, devastating wildfires, flooding, and people, you know, are losing their jobs and their lives to this situation, right? So we really need to act now.
Yeah, and with, I guess that the environment, I think is a big one, and you keep kind of saying how you don't like to use the word crisis because that sort of evokes a feeling of hopelessness. I think that when people are having a hard time holding on to their hope. How do you kind of, I guess, as a political party, help ensure that people are not losing that hope in their environment, in their kind of global economic political world?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, that's the toughest thing, mm-hmm. right? How do we maintain hope? It's so important, because when you're hopeless, we don't do action, right? And mm-hmm. people suffer because of inaction. I think for climate change, what I always say is any action we do, any degree temperature we decrease the amount we're going to rise mm-hmm. by makes a tangible impact, right? It makes the world better. Mm-hmm. So even if we miss that 2-degree target, if we don't hit 5 degrees, that's still a win, mm-hmm. right? Because we didn't get to the worst of climate change. I think it's the same for healthcare. Any investment we can make in healthcare now, we can help more people get access to better healthcare. We can save more lives. And the biggest fear I have, because things are getting so scary out in the world, is that people will be apathetic towards mm-hmm. the danger. And that's why I'm running, to show people that you don't need to be apathetic. There's so much we can do. And if we all work together, we really, truly can make a difference.
Yeah, awesome. Well said. Nicely done. In kind of a bit of a new, very hot topic, we're seeing a lot coming from the states. You mentioned early on Trump's election as president, and now we're seeing he's imposing these tariffs. He's sort of mm-hmm. threatening Canada a little bit. How do you feel that Canada should respond to these threats by Trump?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a tough situation. I don't feel any qualms about saying I think he's crazy, and trying to figure out how to deal with him is not something I think anyone is equipped to do. It's sort of rolling with the punches. I think it's important to have people in place that can do that. But most importantly, I think what we need to center in this whole discussion is how it's going to affect Canadian workers, right? Mm-hmm. In these economically completely uncertain times, how do we make sure that people who lose their jobs are still well taken care of, mm-hmm. right? How do we make sure that we're investing in Canadian businesses and Canadian people? And finding more diverse markets to mm-hmm. export our goods to, right? I really do think we have an opportunity here in Canada to create a new, thriving green economy. We have all the materials we need to do that, right? We have our critical minerals. We have our lumber. We have our mostly mm-hmm. clean energy grid, right? If we really commit to investing in Canadians and protecting them when times are tough, mm-hmm. then I think we can really confront this issue head on.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Great. And one of my last questions, simple but kind of a big one, why should people vote for you?
Yeah. Well, I don't just want you to vote for me because, you know, you've always voted NDP. I would really like to earn your vote because of the things I believe in and what you think I can deliver for you. Why should you vote for me? I will stand up for workers' rights, and I will do something to protect the environment. I also will work with anyone I need to work with to make sure we get good policy in place in Canada. I think we need strong voices that represent Canadians in the House of Commons. You know, the less than 30% of MPs, for example, are women, right? And we need to have our government represent what the people of Canada look like to make sure that our lived experiences, but also our you know, aptitudes are reflected in government. I think it's 30% too. I could be wrong with those numbers, but a small amount of people in the House of Commons are also below the age of 40, right? Mm-hmm. But young people need to have a voice in this too, right? It's our future that we're talking about here, especially when it comes to climate change. So I think that for both of those reasons, we'd love to have more people like me, whether it's me or Maya from Kitchener-Conestoga is mm-hmm. in a similar situation, or Jose from Cambridge is also mm-hmm. young and really eager to make a difference, right? So one, increasing diversity in the House of Commons so that it's more representative, I think is a good pitch for myself. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I have the experience, right? Like I said, I've worked in the federal government. I know how to build good policy. But I've also been educated for 10 years. You know, I got that PhD, and I think I learned a lot during that time on how to take these complicated scientific results that we discover and use that for actionable things for Canadians and making sure mm-hmm. that we build a strong economy here that works for the people, not for billionaires.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. Thank you. And that was all the questions that I had prepared. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about that we didn't quite get to in the initial interview?
Well, since we're talking to students, I guess it would maybe be great to talk about unaffordability specifically for students.
Absolutely.
I also believe that for students, what we need to do is make sure that tuition, I would like it to be zero. I would like everyone to be able to access mm-hmm. education if they want to. This also goes for colleges, right? I think we keep talking about this lack of tradespeople, lack of workers in Canada. And if there is truly a lack, why are we putting any barriers up for people to get the education they need to work in those professions, right? I also think that we need to completely get rid of, eliminate debt. That student debt that people have accumulated. Starting your career off sometimes with $30,000, $40,000 in debt, that is a scary prospect, especially when you're looking down and seeing the economy being a little bit more scary these days, right? We do need to support our students. Some of you guys are the, really the true victims of the unaffordability crisis right now. I know I lived it, you know, 10 years as a student. So I think the federal government has a larger role to play in supporting you guys and making sure that you start off your careers with the best possible foot forward. And I just encourage anyone to reach out to me directly. I'm really trying to be as accessible as possible. I don't know if I mentioned this already, but it is my first time running, and I have a lot to learn. I know that. So I really want to hear what you have to say to me, what your issues are, and how you think I can solve them. And I want to make this a conversation, right? You can't be representative of the people if you don't talk to the people. So please feel free to reach out to me anytime. You can DM me on Instagram. I just started up a Reddit AMA that I'll be answering questions throughout the election cycle. But you can also email me anytime. My email is just helene.chow@ndp.ca. So I'd be happy to talk to you, and I hope I get a chance to sometime soon.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. It was great talking to you this morning. Thank you everybody for listening. Advanced voting will be open on April 18th to April 21st. Please get out and actually vote. And the actual election day will be April 28th. You can find information about where you can vote and who your local candidates are at Elections Canada's website, elections.on.ca. Once again, thank you so much, Helene Chow, for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
Out there. Of course.